Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews Podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today on the show, I'm going to be talking about The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, and also The Marvels. I've been away from doing the podcast for way too long here, and I've gotten sick, and now, you know, I got a cold, and I got this voice that's making it harder to talk, and a cough and everything, and oh my goodness. But I'm back at it, and I got several things here that I want to review in the upcoming weeks here. But okay, let's start it off. Let's talk some about this new Hunger Games prequel.
I am honored to introduce to you the creator of the Hunger Games themselves, Dean Casca Highbottom.
I have summoned you all here for the 10th annual reaping ceremony, in which we choose two children from each district to fight to the death in the Hunger Games.
From District 12, Lucy Gray Baird.
The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Cornelius Snow mentors and develops feelings for the female District 12 tribute during the 10th annual Hunger Games. I like the original Hunger Games series. I actually just rewatched them all before this one came out, because I was like, oh man, I want to watch all these again before I see this prequel one here. And I really enjoyed them. I think especially the first couple movies really stand the test of time. You know, I think the first one and then Catching Fire are really solid. The one that they split up into two, Mockingjay Part 1 and Part 2, a little bit weaker, not as strong as the first two movies. A little bit slower, a lot more like focused on, oh, we got to get the propaganda, we got to get this kind of stuff. Though it is kind of a little bit different of a take of like a war movie, essentially. So it's interesting, and it's pretty good. It's a solid ending to the franchise, I would say, to that series, I would say. But just not as good as those first couple movies. Now we got a prequel. This is following Cornelius Snow, who was the villain of the original series, and now he's the main character, and this is kind of him coming into his own and kind of pointing him towards the path of villainy that we know him, that we know he ends up on in the future. Right off the bat, watching this movie, it's like I notice things that are wrong. I'm watching this and I'm going, okay, wait a minute. In those first movies, those original movies, if you really did almost any acts of rebellion, they would retaliate pretty harshly. Like, the Capitol would retaliate really harshly. Because I remember, like, the person that, like, whistled, and they drag him up on the stage and just shoot him there right in front of everybody, you know? So there's, like, there was a lot of, you know, parts of those movies where they would be beating people or killing people based on them doing, you know, somewhat minor even acts of rebellion or saying something or whistling or putting their fingers up or whatever. And then they would get punished very severely, right? And then the only way PETA and Katniss were kind of getting away with it is because they were so much in, like, the public eye, and they were, or when they were in the Hunger Games, and that was kind of just a part of what kind of happens in the Hunger Games sometimes, you know. So like, they could kind of get away with it a little more than most people, whereas in this one, there are people that have, like, pretty blatant and fairly kind of big acts of rebellion early on in the movie when nobody knows who they are, and in the other movies they would have just, you know, gotten shot or something, you know. And then they, like, do it in the movie just kind of openly, and they're fine and nobody cares, and it's just kind of weird. There's a few things in that just kind of, to me, don't gel with what we've seen in the other movies. I guess this is earlier on, so maybe they weren't as strict earlier on, but to me that doesn't make any sense, because this is a lot closer to the war. This is a lot closer to the thing that caused the Hunger Games to actually happen in the first place. So wouldn't they be, like, more strict during this time period? I don't know. Anyway, there's some things like that in the movie that are just like, I don't know what we're doing here. Rachel Zegler is the lady that gets picked for the Hunger Games in the District 12. Like, right off the bat, I was like, okay, I don't really like this actress, not necessarily because of anything that I've seen her in. I don't even know necessarily what else she has done. Oh, I think she was in Shazam, Fury of the Gods, actually. She was one of the gods, I guess. Okay. She was fine there, but just all of her stuff coming out and her talking about the upcoming Snow White movie that she's playing in, and just all of, like, the really disparaging comments she has back to the original and all that kind of stuff. Like, something, I don't know, I don't care about Snow White at all. I do not care. And yet all that stuff made me go, man, I really do not like this person. this person is really obnoxious and annoying about this, like, character that they're playing here in just such a really poor way. This is very bad sportsmanship. She's not in a sport, but it's bad sportsmanship if acting was a sport. Like, this is dumb. Don't be saying this kind of stuff that you're saying, and it makes me not like you very much. And then, but going into this, I'm like, all right. Maybe try to separate that, you know, see what this character is. But honestly, this character kind of annoyed me through a lot of it. Some of the acts of rebellion is her in this movie doing it and to me just doing it in really annoying ways, and doing it in ways where I'm like, how in the world is she not just getting beat up right now? But okay, by the Capitol, you know, because that's what they do, you know. But all right, I guess, whatever. And she kind of has this, like, superiority kind of feeling to her character. You know, I guess the same way that I feel about watching those videos of her in real life, where she's like, oh, we're superior to this older Snow White movie, and oh, that was terrible, and we're gonna do it way better this time, or whatever they were doing. I feel like that kind of personality trait is kind of carried over to this character in this movie. And she's supposed to be one of the likable ones. She's supposed to be one of the ones we're rooting for and really want to follow and like and stuff. And through a lot of this movie, I was just kind of going, yeah, I do not like your character that much, honestly. Ugh. Tom Blyth plays Cornelius Snow. I thought he did a pretty good job, honestly. I thought, like, this is not what I would have predicted early Cornelius Snow to be, you know, but they set him up well, and I think they set him on the trajectory to kind of become the guy that we know him to be in the later movies. And so I think, oh, okay, yeah, I think that's pretty well, and I think the guy did a pretty good job. The Hunger Games themselves, I think, are way, way less interesting this time around. It's obviously it's way in the past, you know. It was 75 or something in the newer ones, whereas this is the 10th. So, you know, we're a good, like, 65 years or so before the events of the original Hunger Games movies. So everything is, you know, way more scaled down as far as the Hunger Games goes. But you can have a way more scaled down version of the Hunger Games and still have it be really well done, and still have it be, like, intense and exciting and stuff. And to me, in this movie, it's just okay. I guess mostly it's because the characters in this are kind of weak. And the main character that we're following in here, her name is Lucy Gray, played by Rachel Zegler. She's like, not a very interesting or likable character in this movie to me. And so when she's in danger in the Hunger Games and stuff, I don't particularly care. The games themselves are, you know, is way less interesting. You know, the first couple movies, they threw so many different weird things in the games that it's like, you know, to spice things up, or like, oh, we need her to go this way, so we're gonna light the forest on fire, whatever, you know, just setting up these different kind of things. It's way simpler, it's a lot less, but again, it's so much older, you know, it's like, okay, I guess that makes sense. But again, it is something that's lesser while you're watching it, so it's less interesting ultimately. And so what should have been more interesting to make up for that was the characters, but we didn't quite get there. And then the other Hunger Games movies, I mean, you got, you know, Rue, you got Fennec, you got who was the big bad guy at the end of the first movie, you know, in the arena. You know, you have these different characters that stick out in my mind as far as, like, oh yeah, I remember that guy. I remember him, you know, he was just the big bad guy in the end of the first movie, and you know, it's not like he was a super deep character or anything, but it's like he kind of sticks out in my mind as, like, oh yeah, he's the big bad in that movie, and you know, he was good in that role and stuff. But this movie, like, I don't remember anybody else in The Hunger. Like, the only person really I remember in The Hunger Games is just Rachel Zegler here. Everybody else was just cannon fodder and not interesting. They didn't build up the other tributes and stuff. They didn't build up their characters very much, like, before going in or anything. It was just like, suddenly you're in there with them, and it's just like, who are these other people? I really just don't care that much. I don't even know who was the other person. I don't even remember who the other person in District 12 was. Like, that should be a big deal, right? But it wasn't. I don't even remember who it was. Ultimately, this movie, it's not the worst. It's just not that great. It's just okay. I would give it a 3 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale. Now let's talk about The Marvels.
Carol Danvers, prodigal child of the Milky Way.
Nick Fury, my favorite one-eyed man of intrigue.
How goes it out there?
Cold, no air, space.
Captain Marvel, the Annihilator. You took everything from me. And now I'm returning the favor.
The Marvels. Carol Danvers gets her powers entangled with those of Kamala Khan and Monica Rambeau, forcing them to work together to save the universe. So let's start off with themes here. The main theme of this movie, I would say, is that it's kind of a, you need to be there for your family when times are hard, you know, and you need to be, you know, a shoulder that they can cry on, and you need to be there for them, which is true. And left there, you know, it would be solid, if not, you know, maybe a bit simplistic, but, you know, okay, good and solid, but it extends out beyond that, I think, in a kind of an interesting way. It also says that if you are the one that needs that shoulder to cry on, you know, if you made a mistake, or if you sinned, if you want to put it in a more biblical or Christian kind of term, if you sinned and you need healing from that, then, you know, not only does your family need to come around you, but also you need to go around your family to make this happen. You can't just, you know, they can't just be the ones that come to you. You actually do have to reach out to them. You actually do have to make yourself available to have a shoulder to cry on. Like, you can't run away from your mistakes. You need to confess your mistakes to them, even, and talk to them about it. You know, that's the way that you will heal from the wounds that your sins have caused you. And this is all expressed through, you know, this character that's just, let's continually kind of pushing away and just being like, no, but it just causes the pain that she's suffering through to be worse, because she's not letting the person that would be there for her and that would have the shoulder to for her to cry on and stuff, she's like pushing that away, and so she is not allowing herself to heal. Which, honestly, this is true. I mean, you do, you know, the Bible says, you know, okay, you confess your sins to God for the sake of forgiveness and salvation, but you also confess your sins to other people. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So there is actually healing that comes from the confession of your sins from one person to another person, not even just, you know, to God, but confessing it to each other and kind of being there to have the shoulder to lean on, or the shoulder to cry on, or whatnot. That is actually kind of a biblical idea there. Now, of course, this theme is covered in the, you know, girl boss feminism kind of stuff that you would expect out of a Captain Marvel movie. I mean, it's disappointing that it's so much in here, all this, you know, it's all the women are better than men, women are the warriors, and we even have examples of, like, the mother is the protector of the father and the children and not the father, you know. And so it's like, it's just kind of this messy, gross feminism kind of stuff just layered on top of what I actually think is kind of a gem, solid little message in there as well. That said, when you watch this movie, this is probably not the stuff you're going to be thinking about, because this is not what this movie is about. This movie is about blowing some stuff up and girl boss feminism, you know, I guess. You'll be thinking about that part of it, I guess. But this movie isn't about any deep themes or anything particularly. The first Captain Marvel movie is the worst movie in the MCU. Like, it's that or Eternals, I guess. But it's like pretty bottom of the barrel stuff. It's probably the worst movie in the MCU. And so when it came out, there was a lot of people that were complaining about it, including myself. If you want to go back and listen to my review of the original movie, you know, it's one that I complained about there. And I think Marvel heard those complaints. Well, I mean, probably not mine, but, you know, in general, I think Marvel heard some of those complaints. And so this movie is a pivot from what the first Captain Marvel movie was. It's a pivot towards something that I think, like, Marvel's hoping will be more palatable to the Marvel audience. So if you look at the box office, with this being the lowest grossing opening box office of, like, any Marvel movie to come out in the MCU, I don't think they succeeded. But this is a pivot from Captain Marvel, and I think probably the biggest way they pivoted this movie is they made this a team movie. You know, it's not called Captain Marvel 2, it's called The Marvels, you know, as a Marvel team, right? You know, and even so, going into this movie, I was still thinking, like, okay, yeah, it's The Marvels, but it's just going to be Captain Marvel 2 with two new sidekicks, right? Like, that's what it's going to be. But no, not really. I think they followed through on the rebrand, and they made this, like, a legitimate team movie. We get basically the same amount of time with Ms. Marvel and Monica Rambeau as we do with Captain Marvel. I'd say maybe a little bit more time with Ms. Marvel and Captain Marvel. They outweigh Monica Rambeau a little bit, I would say. But for the most part, it's fairly evenly split, I would say. And I liked that. Like, I think that's a good move. Okay, we had a movie with the least interesting character in the MCU. Let's bring in some other characters to spice her up and give her something more interesting to bounce off of. And they did do that. Another way that they pivoted is they gave Captain Marvel a personality this time around, which is great. That's a great addition to her character. I'm glad they did that. She was just so stoic and bland previously. And in this one, they give her some fun, you know, they give some fun into her character. She's much less obnoxious than she was before, I think. I think Marvel heard the annoyance of their fans about Captain Marvel being this angry feminist character, and so they made her a happier feminist character, you know? And I mean, hey, that's an improvement, I guess. That's maybe not a realistic one, but hey, it's an improvement, you know. So, you know, at least they made her a little bit happier. They made her have some jokes and some quips, and some of the relationship that she has with some of the other characters is a little bit better, I would say, than the first movie. Ms. Marvel, I think, is a great addition to this movie. She's probably the best character in this movie. She's just, like, pulled and plopped straight out of the TV show that she was in, straight into this movie, and she's great. She just brings this, like, really funny, like, energetic, youthful kind of charm without it getting annoying. You know, that kind of shtick can get annoying if not done right, and I think this actress does a really good job at hit nailing that character really well, I think. I will say, though, if you haven't seen the Ms. Marvel TV show, like, you'll be missing out on some stuff. It's kind of necessary watching if you're going to watch this. They make several, like, direct points that they kind of pull out of that show as, like, direct connections and stuff, which I found interesting, because it's like, okay, if you haven't seen the show and you watch it, are you just going to be, like, questioning what they mean at certain points in this movie, I guess? I don't know. It's to me, it's kind of a weird move to make such direct and kind of necessary almost connections from the show to the movie, you know? It makes the movie less accessible, which I think is not what Marvel wants to be doing. Monica Rambeau, she's a decent character. I enjoyed her enough in this movie. She's fine. I didn't fall in love with her or anything, but she was fine. There's some decent character dynamics here. You know, you got some fun lines and quips and interactions and stuff. Maybe some of the best parts of the movie is just kind of when they're just hanging out, the three of them hanging out and figuring things out and stuff like that is, you know, there's some fun moments in there. Nick Fury is in here. I love Nick Fury. I mean, forget what I said about Ms. Marvel. Nick Fury is the best character in this movie. I love Nick Fury. I said he doesn't really have much to do here. He almost feels like he was just in here because he was in the previous movie, and so it's like, I guess we gotta have him back in here. But he didn't really do much of anything in this movie. If this is what Secret Invasion was like setting up for him, then I mean that was a waste of time because there was no connection. Like Secret Invasion could have just not happened, and it would have been exactly the same, you know. So I don't know. I don't really understand what he was doing here. I don't know. He was basically a useless character in here, in my opinion. There is some cool action sequences. There's like one action sequence in particular that I thought was really cool, where the three of them are fighting, and the whole story of the movie is their powers are intertangled, so whenever one uses their powers, they like switch out with the other one. So there's one where they're all like switching around, and they're all in different locations, so they're all like fighting different people. That was a really cool, fun action sequence. One that may be the best part of the movie. Have I said the best part of the movie at like three different points of the movie in this review already? Anyway, that was a really fun thing. The rest of the action in here, it's decent. It's your somewhat typical Marvel kind of big explosive action. It's fun enough, but it's not anything spectacular. This movie does feel choppy. It feels like there are like scenes and lines that were like cut out that maybe needed to be here in the movie to make it like complete or to make certain things make sense. There is some like weird leaps of logic at points in this movie where I'm like, maybe something was cut out that would make me understand that better, or like they jump to something where I'm like, how do we get to this topic, or how do we end up here? Like thematically, the line is just kind of, it's a mess, you know. There's emotional beats in this movie that just seemingly come out of nowhere. And again, I'm kind of assuming that they like maybe they set them up earlier in the movie and then just kind of cut them out or something. Maybe, I'm not really sure. This feels like the kind of movie like Batman v Superman or something where it's like there could be a director's cut where they add back in the stuff and it's like, oh yeah, that's a better movie. And so, needless to say, I mean the emotional beats don't work well. Almost none of the drama really works in this movie, honestly. The fun that I did have in this movie, it's purely superficial. It's all very surface level. You know, some of the visuals, some of the action, some of the character dynamics, but not a lot of the character dynamics that were very deep. It's mostly just kind of the fun, jokey, Marvel-y kind of character dynamics that are in most of their movies. And they do some of those here in here that is pretty fun. But whenever they're really trying to get anything deeper in this movie, for the most part, it just doesn't really work very well. There's also some weird, like, off-character moments in the movie that are mostly, like, played for laughs. But a character will, like, they'll be, like, in one mood, and then they'll instantly switch over into another mood, and then back again or something. And it's just kind of, it's, like, weird. Like, I don't know. Again, they did it for laughs, so was it just they wanted to insert a joke here, and so they just kind of, what? But, or was it, like, it was supposed to be like that and I missed something, or again, they cut something out. I don't know. There's just some kind of weird, wonky stuff. This movie's a mess, honestly. It's not that great. It should have been way better. I enjoyed it more than the original movie. Like, the original movie is pretty flat. It's pretty bland. This one, at least there's some spice in here, you know? I like Ms. Marvel, you know? So there's that, I guess. I think there's more in this movie that I like than the original movie. But again, this is bottom barrel MCU stuff. This is Marvel at the bottom of their game right now. And come on. You guys made some of the coolest movie in the last several years, you know, with Endgame and with the Captain America movies and Iron Man and, oh my goodness, all these cool movies, man. But, man, they're really going downhill here, ultimately. And this movie is just continuing that trajectory downhill. And it's unfortunate, man. I want Marvel to be better. Then again, Marvel losing a bunch of money with this kind of stuff, in some ways it doesn't bother me, just with the with, you know, Disney being all the weird, creepy stuff that Disney's doing with their not-so-secret gay agenda, as they put it. You know, it's just like this weird sexualization of children and stuff that they do. It's like, okay, if they lose a bunch of money and, you know, ultimately if they crash and burn, even though, you know, I love the MCU movies and all this kind of stuff, and I don't really want them to fail. I don't want them to, you know, but it's like, you know, if it all has to crash and burn in order for the weird, creepy stuff to stop, then hey, so be it, I guess. I would give it a 3 out of 5 stars on the enjoyability scale.
She's entangled our light-based powers, so we switch places whenever we use them.
Strong theory.
You can absorb light. I can see it. And Kamala...
Who's Kamala?
Hi.
She can turn light into physical matter, which I have never heard of.
I could totally show you.
No!
All right, real quick, before I end the show, I do want to talk about some spoilers with with the Marvels. Just a few little things that I want to talk about, the after credit scenes and stuff, mostly here is the stuff that I want to talk about. So, spoiler warning for the Marvels, if you don't want to be spoiled for the Marvels, there you go, you've been warned, spoiler warning. Okay, here we go. So, the after credit scenes, two after credit scenes, So the first after credits scene is you have Ms. Marvel, and she is it's a riff on the end of the first Iron Man movie where Nick Fury comes in and says, "Hey, I want to recruit you for a team," and all this kind of stuff, and it's the setup for the Avengers. So it's kind of fun. It's a fun little sequence. I like Ms. Marvel, and she is going and talking to Kate Bishop's Hawkeye. So she's like, "Hey, you think you're the only kid superhero around here and stuff?" And they, you know, they have a little fun conversation there. It's enjoyable. I like it. And it's setting up for the Young Avengers, which is something that kind of expected, maybe a little bit. It's something that was definitely rumored, at least because of them introducing a bunch of these younger heroes to the mix, like Ms. Marvel, like Kate Bishop, you know, like some of these characters here that could create a Young Avengers, and some of these that have been in the Young Avengers in the comic books. And so it's like, okay, you know, this is, you know, it's cool. It's maybe exciting for the future. I don't know. I'm not super excited for a lot of the future of the MCU, just because so much of it has gone downhill. So much of it has come down that it's like, oh man, you know, I want to be more excited, but I also just, I want the movies to be better, you know, and so many of the movies haven't been as good as they could have been, unfortunately. And I hope that changes. And they're reshuffling things here. Next year, I think the only Marvel movie that comes out is Deadpool 3, which is like, is it even really in the MCU? I don't know. We don't even know what that movie really is going to be. Everything else, like I think Thunderbolts was supposed to come out next year, and Captain America was supposed to come out next year. Both of those got pushed off into 2025. And so it's like, not even, those aren't even coming. So they're shuffling things up. They're changing things up. Apparently they like got rid of the writer on Blade, and they're redoing that and stuff. So, you know, okay, they're shuffling things up. It actually seems like they're actually changing things up after the complete and utter failure of the Marvels. So it's like, okay, you know, maybe I'm looking forward to the Young Avengers movie or whatever that's going to be in the future then, because they're actually trying to change things up. They're actually trying to go a new direction. Hopefully they cool down with some of the woke stuff. Hopefully they cool down with some of the extreme feminism stuff, you know, and just bring it back a little closer to what we had pre-Avengers Endgame, you know? Come on, guys. So the first after credit sequence is a tease for the Young Avengers. So the second after credits sequence is Monica Rambeau at the end of the movie. She has to like close some portal that's opening to another world. So it's like, okay, we're still doing the multiverse thing. So, you know, who knows if Kang the Conqueror is going to continue being the villain or not, because apparently that actor might beat women, and so he might be going to jail or something here. Jeez Louise, doesn't sound good. So, I mean, hopefully he doesn't abuse women. But so in that case, then hopefully he's still okay to be an actor too. But I mean, if he does, then I guess send him off to prison. You know, it is what it is. we can have somebody else be the villain, you know. But we got the multiverse connection there. And when it was happening, I was like, okay, here's the multiverse connection that's kind of connecting this to the Kang Dynasty and all those, you know, the future Avengers movies here. And then she goes out there, which, by the way, I immediately knew, like, oh, she's not coming back. You know, she's like, okay, you guys shoot your power into me or whatever, and I'll go out there and I'll shut it down. And it's like, okay, you know. And they're just like, oh, yeah, good idea. Let's do that. And then later on, they discover, oh, you can't come back? What? And it's like, dude, I knew that immediately when she said it. Don't you know how stories work, Ms. Marvel? Come on. Anyway, she flies up there. And she goes into the crack opening between universes. She closes it. She ends up on the other side, and she ends up in the X-Men universe. And we see Beast, played by, what is his name? Played by the guy who played him in the Fox X-Men movies. So she went to like that X-Men universe, I guess. By the way, the CGI on Beast was not very good. It was like, he looked cartoonish to me. Like, he did not look very good, in my opinion. He looked better in the older movies, in my opinion. Because he was just a big dude painted blue more in those movies, you know. Whereas in this one, he's like all CGI, and he looked kind of funky. But hey, okay. Introducing more X-Men stuff. They have the X-Men stuff. They've kind of introduced some X-Men elements to the MCU. Ms. Marvel is a mutant, apparently. There was somebody else that they mentioned being a mutant in one of the movies that I don't remember who. Anyway, oh yeah, and then in Doctor Strange, there's a mutant in that one too. There's a Professor X shows up in Doctor Strange too. So, you know, okay. So they're slowly introducing some of the X-Men elements in here. She goes over to this other universe. She's stuck with those X-Men. We see the doors close, and it's that old classic, you know, the X-Men movie doors of the sliding doors with the X on it and stuff. And it's like, okay, you know, it's the X-Men. It's those X-Men and stuff. It's like, cool. My question, I guess, mostly is, I hope that they're not, the attempt is not to bring those X-Men into the MCU. I don't want those X-Men in the MCU. Like, I enjoy the old X-Men movies. I like, you know, like they're kind of hit and miss. Some of them are good, some of them are not so good. I've reviewed most of them on the show before, so you can go back and listen to my reviews if you want to hear what I think about them. But like, that was their universe. That was them doing their own thing. Let's get Marvel to do their own thing with the X-Men. Now, if this is just bringing them in the multiversal context, because the rumors surrounding the next two Avengers movies, Kang Dynasty and I forget the name of the other one. The rumors surrounding those is that they're going to bring in some of the legacy characters. So they're going to bring in, you know, some of those X-Men characters, and they're going to bring in Tobey Maguire Spider-Man or whatever. You know, they're going to bring in all of these other universe characters ultimately to fight him, because there's all the universes fighting together. And so that's like the way that they can do Avengers Endgame again, you know, because it's like, how can you get bigger than Avengers Endgame? That was like everybody in the entire MCU all fighting there at once. Well, the way you can do it is everybody in that MCU and everybody in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man MCU and everybody in the, you know, X-Men, Fox's X-Men MCU and the old Blade, maybe, I don't know. You're just bringing in just everybody in this one, you know, and that's the rumors anyway. That would be awesome. Like, I am so down for that. So if the way that this is going is that she's gonna come into that fight, you know, or whatever, into those movies with them, but then ultimately they're all gonna end up in their separate universes, and the X-Men are gonna be in the MCU with new characters and new actors and new everything, then I'm totally on board for that. I'm down for that. But if what the attempt here is for them to bring the old X-Men into the current MCU, then no. Then just quit. Don't do that. Go a completely different direction. With kind of how much of a mess they're making out of the MCU, in some ways, there's even, like, rumors that they're trying to bring back, like, maybe if we should bring back, you know, Iron Man and Captain America and you know, Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. and all of them and just start with them again. But it's like, you can't really do that. It's been done, you know, man. Like, but with these movies and the multiverse concept, kind of like Flashpoint, you have the opportunity to reset a little bit, maybe not completely. You carry over what you want to carry over, but you kind of give it a soft reboot and a fresh start where it's like, okay, now we're going to move forward here with a little bit of a fresh start so that we can make the MCU great again, you know, make it good again instead of making it so hit and miss like it has been, you know. Anyway, those are the spoilers that I wanted to talk about. What do you think of the Marvels? What did you think of Hunger Games, Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes and other rodents and animals and stuff? shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com, and you can let me know. That's it for this time. Man, I've been away from the podcast for a while now, and there's several things that I want to review now. I've been playing the Spider-Man 2 game. Oh my goodness, it's so good, man. I can't wait to talk about that game. I recently watched Walking Dead Dead City, which is the Walking Dead spinoff, so I kind of want to talk about that. I've been watching Servant by M. Night Shyamalan TV show. I want to talk about that. So there's several things here that I want to talk about. And then we're coming up to the end of the year. We're talking up to Christmas and New Year's and all that kind of stuff. So with that comes the end of the year / beginning of the year episodes with things like, you know, my most anticipated of next year, my favorites of this year. All those kind of episodes are right on the horizon. I'm working on those episodes now. I'm already working on the most anticipated episode. And honestly, I should probably start working on the best of episode 2, even though we still got like a month to go there. But those are like some of the biggest and most hard working episodes I gotta put in to make those episodes. But those are also like some of my favorite episodes that I do. I really enjoy the end and beginning of the year episodes. So hey, I'm looking forward to those. Until then, this is David at Helix Reviews signing out. Bye bye, guys.